Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 23rd day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Dan O'Brien will join us from K-State University out in Kansas to take up the agricultural energy markets. We'll talk to him about ethanol. That spread, by the way, between the price of ethanol futures and the price of RBOB, or wholesale price of gas, has gotten really, really in the favor of using ethanol. We'll hear more from him as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. And we'll also check in on the weather forecast, too. Don Day will help us close out our half hour together. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago now. On this Tuesday afternoon, December corn was down 4 3/4. The settlement price there at $3.25 1/2. The March contract from Chicago finished up at $3.38 1/4, down 4 1/2. In the May at $3.46 3/4, down 4 1/2. July corn at $3.54, down 4 1/4. In September at $3.61 1/2, down 4 cents. Soy complex nearby beans at $9.36 1/4, 2 cents lower. January at $9.43 3/4, down 2. In the March at $9.51, a settlement price down 1 1/4. May futures $9.58, down 3/4 cents. In July, soybean futures at $9.63 1/2, down 3/4. August $9.66, down 3/4 cents. And September futures at $9.56 1/4, finished up 1/4 cent for the afternoon. Bean meal for the day at $3.17.10, down $2.30. And the bean oil at $32.23, up 23 cents on the day. Wheat futures finished the December contract at $4.76. That's 60 cents lower. March futures at $4.88 1/4, down 1 1/4. And July of next year, the harvest month for the soft red winter wheat at $5.04 3/4 cents, down 3 3/4 cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And you can do that each and every business day. Our programs are posted there not long after they air on our radio station. Let's take a look at what the weather forecast looks like now from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, we'll be headed to a high in the low 70s, 73 degrees outside, in fact, now. So above our high for the day of 71 on an east-southeast wind. Tonight, mostly clear and a low of 48. Wednesday, sunny skies in 74. Southeast wind at 5 to 7. And Wednesday night, clear with a low of 52. Thursday, sunny skies in 78. And Thursday night, mostly clear and 53 degrees. On Friday, sunny with a high near 78 degrees. Friday night, clear and 54. Saturday, sunny skies as we make our way into the weekend and the combines really get to roll. 79 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 56. And again on Sunday, sunny skies and 78. Partly cloudy and Sunday evening and 57. And to start the next work week, mostly sunny skies and 78. We'll, of course, take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the marketplace and about the way the weather is looking for the next week. In fact, I talked to Don a little earlier, and we should have really clear skies as we make our way into not only this week, but the following week. A couple of things that you should keep in mind as we move through the end of September. Grain stocks reports are coming up. We'll talk about that with Wayne Nelson momentarily. And if you have a letter from the FSA, meaning you have a letter from the landowner and you're a landowner, you may need to take a look at that before you really get into the harvest season. It's just some cleanup of data. You're not doing anything exactly with the farm bill, but you need to take a look at those numbers. And if they look correct, then you don't need to do anything. But if they're not correct, you need to call the FSA today. That's involved with a letter you already have had in the mail and said, hey, you've got 60 days to clean this up.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
On the phone line for this Tuesday afternoon, it is the 23rd day of September, is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It's such a beautiful day over here in Newmarket, and the combines are rolling in the bean field.
Yeah, tell me what you've been hearing, if anything, other than the hum of those beans being combined at the moment.
Well, you know, the bean yields are continuing to stay fairly good over here. We've heard some very high yields. We've heard some, you know, above average yields in most cases, and, you know, some just a little bit above. But nobody's been below what their average yield is by any means. And, you know, they just keep rolling, and they're doing extremely well. And moisture's coming down on them, and the bean lines are pretty long at different places.
I suppose the other thing that we ought to talk about, and we'll come back to the soybeans in just a bit, is that the corn futures made new contract lows in the December contract today. Will they continue to do so this week, do you suppose?
I'm going to say as we pick up and harvest, they're going to push on down. I know that all the technical points say 308 is our stopping point, with some guys saying if things get bad, maybe a 280. But I think until we see what the government says on the next report on what sort of acreage they're using, and we see a little bit more than what we've got done so far, that the yields are continuing to hang in there really good before we take it down that last notch. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see the 320 breach this week.
And what are you telling producers about what they should do with both corn and soybeans? And let's go back to the soybeans. We'll stick with them for just a bit, because now we're down at, what, 9.36 and a quarter, 2 cents lower for the day in the November contract as a settlement price. Farmers are probably thinking, hey, it's still a $9 bean. Should I really sell it or should I store it?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, basically, if they're going to have to pay for commercial storage, we're not probably too in doing that right now. We don't think that there's enough to do that. We're going to try to save our bin space probably for our corn. We're going to look for the glut of harvest to come on in, and if we want to own some options there, I think that's going to be the idea, is to look at it. But we're probably more of a seller of beans than we are of the corn right now.
And corn, you have some choices, short and long-term storage, on and off farm. On farm, I'm going to go with long-term storage. So what do you do if you have to commercial storage? Are you aiming for short-term, meaning somewhere in December, January, or do you aim for longer-term?
I think basically you look for the shorter term with that. We look for when the bin doors go closed, and then we can turn around and see a good basis increase to pay our storage and maybe a little bit of bump up in the board for that one, Todd. So, I do think that, you know, and otherwise, and some of the things we have to be looking at is there's a little pop out here and it gives us a fairly decent return for that on-farm storage. We might want to be selling some of that July out there or something that we can get a pop up a little bit here.
Is there any fundamental reason at this point at all to think that this marketplace in either corn or soybeans might turn around at some point?
Well, I mean, we've seen everything about bad out there. We're assuming that we're going to have record yields. We're assuming we're going to be even bin buster on top of record yields. We're assuming that everything else in the rest of the world carries on okay. So, I mean, we can see a lot of things that you know, there's things we don't see or don't understand out there that can pop on in here. And we are at four-year lows, so there is a very good, we're oversold, and there can be a little pop back on some things.
All right. So when you look forward to the month of October and the WASDE and crop production report figures, will there be much in the way of changes? Oftentimes, once the September report comes out, and if it in particular is bigger than the August in terms of the number for corn, it continues to grow in October. Do you suppose that would be the case this year?
I think that we will see a slight increase as far as the yield goes. The question we have is with the FSA numbers on planted acres, and that there are a lot of people. I know that Dan was talking about some of his other private surveys taking place out there that think that the corn planted acreage will be reduced up to 2 million acres and the beans by 1 million acres or so. So if that happens, why, of course, you know, how much will that overshadow what the increase in yield is and what we're looking at, and how the trade's going to react is going to be a lot on how the the yields that we're seeing from in the field are coming in, because, you know, a few bushel increase in production on all the acres compared to losing 2 million acres is, it makes up pretty fast. So, you know, it's going to be something we're going to look at, but there is that's going to surprise us there, or possibly surprise us there that way.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
All right, thanks, Todd.
You too. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the closing market report for this Tuesday, September the 23rd. The closing market report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of the 22nd day of September, 90% of the corn crop across the Midwest had dented. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 92%. That's for 18 reporting states. 42% of the crop is mature. The rolling five-year average is 54%. 7% of the crop has been harvested, and that compares to 15% on the rolling five-year average. Taking a look at the condition of the corn crop, 51% in good condition, 23% in excellent. That compares to 52 and 22 in the previous week. We'll turn our attention now to the soybeans, where 45% of the crop is said to be dropping leaves. 53% is the rolling five-year average. 3% of the soybean crop has been harvested around the nation. 8% is the normal five-year average. It's said to be in 53% good and 18% excellent condition. In the previous week, those numbers were 53% and 19%, respectively. Now, here are the statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana with updates from their regions.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Iowa farmers took advantage of the most days suitable for field work in over a month. Iowa experienced varying temperatures this week, with a low of 33 degrees at Battle Creek and Elkader on Tuesday, and a high of 90 degrees at Sioux City on Friday. Temperatures for the week averaged 3 degrees below normal. Frost was reported on Tuesday morning in parts of Iowa. Light to moderate rain fell across most of the state on Monday and Friday, with dry weather during the other days of the week. Total rain for the week varied from 0.02 inch in northeastern Washington County to 1.85 inches at the Spencer Airport. Average precipitation for the week was 0.58 inches, almost 0.2 inch less than normal. 92% of Iowa's corn crop was in or beyond the dent stage, 4 days ahead of the previous year, but 3 days behind the five-year average. 37% of the corn acreage was mature, 10 days behind normal. Unchanged from the previous 3 weeks, 76% of the corn acreage was rated in good to excellent condition. Leaves were turning color on 79% of the soybean crop, 5 days ahead of the previous year, but 3 days behind average. 34% of the soybean acreage was dropping leaves, 5 days behind normal. 74% of the soybean acreage was rated in good to excellent condition. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was 80% complete, the lowest percent complete by this date in over 20 years. Pasture condition rated 67% good to excellent. Livestock conditions were reported as normal. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois was cool and dry last week. The statewide average temperature for the week was 4.3 degrees below normal, and the average rainfall was 0.57 inches, 0.2 inch below normal. Corn harvest reached 6% complete compared to 4% 1 year ago and 23% for the five-year average. 56% of acres are mature compared to 44% last year and 63% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 4% of acres in very poor or poor condition, 13% fair, and 83% in good or excellent condition. For Illinois soybeans, 45% of acres are dropping leaves, compared to 34% 1 year ago and 46% for the five-year average. 79% of acres are turning color, compared to 68% last year and 75% normally. 6% of acres were rated very poor or poor, 18% fair, and 76% good or excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 21st, 2014. Some areas of the state experienced a much-needed break in precipitation this week, although several fields remained damp, which has slowed harvest. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 2.43 inches, with a statewide average of 0.74 inches. Corn is 49% matured, compared to 43% last year and 54% five-year average. Corn is 5% harvested versus 5% last year and 13% five-year average. Moisture in harvested corn is at 25% compared to 21% last year. Soybeans dropping leaves was at 53% this week versus 63% last year and 62% five-year average. Soybean farmers report 14% moisture content in harvested beans, exceeding last year by 3%. Overall, corn and soybeans continue to be over 70% in good to excellent condition. Harvest for corn silage is in full swing, and corn harvested for grain has begun. Potato and tomato harvest has finished in most areas of the state. Farmers have been busy this week cleaning and spraying storage facilities, hauling grain, cleaning bins, and roadside mowing. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. With 5.4 days suitable for field work, small grain harvest advanced to near completion. Varying degrees of frost damage were reported by respondents throughout much of Minnesota, but the crop conditions remain largely unchanged. Field activities for the week included hauling manure to fields where wheat and oats were combined. 91% of the corn crop was at or beyond the dent stage. With 19% of the corn crop mature, crop conditions remained unchanged and stands at 71% good to excellent. 81% of the soybean crop was turning color beyond, that's 4 days behind average. 38% of the crop was dropping leaves, with 65% in good to excellent condition. Spring wheat harvest at 91% complete remains 10 days behind average. This is the slowest harvest pace since 2009. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the United States. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Buy your tickets today for our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference. It's November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. In addition to our great marketing panels on corn, cash grain, and soybeans, we've got keynotes on crop insurance, including the ARCPLC decision, and farmland values. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org.
This is the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line now is Dan O'Brien, an Extension Agricultural Economist at Kansas State University. He joins us to talk about the agricultural energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan. I think I want to start with the ratio for ethanol to gasoline. We read that most days here on this program as a spread, but it is as in much of favor of ethanol as I have seen it since I've started to read it, maybe right now at about 2 years, I think. I think you've got it at 0.62. What does that mean?
Well, I think there are different ways to calculate these, calculate that measure to try to understand, the relative profitability of ethanol production. I think at this time in our part of the country and in yours, Todd, that there's a lot of concern, frankly, about the about how large supplies of corn and strong response from plants will end up and where it will take us in terms of ethanol profitability. Now, I know we were talking about spreads. When you look at the plant, projected profitability yet for September, it looks like we're still making some money, about 33 cents a gallon of ethanol. A lot of concern here in market reports of late. Watching the EIA, Energy Information Agency, reports come out next day or so, about growing supplies and just a fair amount of concern as to where that situation would go, where we may find ourselves in the not too distant future in terms of having an oversupply. So you've got some softness of demand and a lot of incentive with lower corn prices to produce that are kind of battling themselves out, where here on the one hand we're showing profitability, but on the other there's a fair amount of concern about where this market and where the profitability of plants might end up. And
how has the softness in demand developed? Because I thought it was just a percentage point of, well, it is for the most part, of gasoline usage in the United States. So the only way that really drops, I think, is if we start driving less or have much more fuel-efficient vehicles.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying in terms of that. I think I've been the reports, at least that we've seen, we have large ethanol. Well, it's probably more of a marginal short-term situation. We have large supplies of ethanol on the West Coast. Again, the building up of stocks. And again, it might be just a temporary situation, but really on the margin, there's not as much of an incentive, again, given large supplies that are building up out there for buyers of ethanol to go in and aggressively purchase. So we're seeing some softening here in the short run of the optimism for the market. And I know there can be different views on that, when you were looking at ethanol relative to RBOB, this should be a great incentive to purchase. So is it a demand issue or is it a supply issue, Todd? I guess it's the thing for us to scratch our heads on.
It sounds as if you're telling me that it's a supply issue, but then if I take a look at your slide number 12, which is in the PowerPoint you sent me on capacity and production, we're operating, am I seeing this right, at 14.3 billion gallons of capacity for the year, but at production for the year, but our capacity for the year is 14.9?
Well, at least according to the latest numbers that the Renewable Fuels Association put out, that would be the case. Of course, when they put out a nameplate number capacity, then you know they can do that or more at different times. At least that's what they tell us. I think the thing to keep in mind on the ethanol market is that it almost seems like we're in a market that's had a short term run up, and it's surprising to think beyond stage one. Stage one is that, hey, we have cheap corn where we can produce a lot of ethanol and make a lot of money. But again, given that this industry operates on the margin, I put it more as a rhetorical question, are we operating in a situation where we have such cheap corn relative to where we have been that we're outproducing on the supply side our ability to have demand absorb that and maintain, again, as we go 1, 2, 3 months down the road, to maintain our profitability on the plant side. It's, again, we're still showing profitability, but if inventories build up and we see that much more softening of the price of ethanol, then quote, something's got to give. I mean, it's kind of a race to the bottom. Do we have the input costs fall off more, or the supply or the price of sales fall off more? And I guess we'll see how this plays out as we head off into November, December, and January.
Dan, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Have a great day, Todd. We'll see you.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State University, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
WILL programs are made possible by Bevere Cafe. Bevere Cafe offers versatile catering options for breakfast meetings, working lunches, or afternoon receptions. Services include a wide selection of food and beverages suited to any budget. More information is available online or at 244-2233.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's St. Clair of Assisi Day, patron of good weather. It's also the first day of autumn. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, Robert Bosch was born. A German engineer and industrialist, he was responsible for the invention of the spark plug. In 1869, Mary Mallon was born. She is better known by her nickname, Typhoid Mary. She was an infamous household cook who was responsible for major outbreaks of typhoid in New York City in 1904, 1907, and 1914. In all, she was directly responsible for 3 deaths and 51 cases of typhoid. Ironically, she was herself immune to typhoid fever. And in 1880, Sir John Boyd Orr was born, a Scottish scientist and nutrition expert. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work to eliminate world hunger. In 1936, he published a report, Food, Health, and Income, a dietary survey by income groups made during 1935. It showed that the cost of a diet fulfilling basic nutritional requirements was beyond the means of half of the British population, and that 10% of the population was undernourished. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming joins us. Don, tell me about the weather forecast. Will we see good weather for farmers to harvest corn and soybeans in the Midwest this week?
I think we will. Now, we are going to have some systems come through, but I would say that over the next week or so that they're going to be quick moving, not big precipitation producers, and for the most part, low humidities and sunshine should take us through this week, into this weekend, and into the start of next week. So harvest operations and conditions in terms of how the weather behaves looks pretty good. Longer term, I do see the weather pattern towards the middle to the end of next week maybe throwing us a couple of curveballs, but we've got a good week before that'll happen.
Well, we'll have a good start on the harvest of the corn and the soybean crop across the Corn Belt. They are trying to sow wheat out west. How's that going?
Well, I think for the most part, it depends on where you are out west. The southern areas, especially in the southern plains, have been pretty wet here lately. But elsewhere, we see a really good window of opportunity here, like the Corn Belt in the Midwest, for some good weather for any wheat operations for harvest in the western areas.
And the farmers in the southern hemisphere doing as well as we are here and getting operations in the field started and moving?
Well, it looks like it. There hasn't been any remarkable weather down there in the past week, although we do see that southern Brazil, portions of Argentina, could be getting into some cooler and wet weather. It's not going to be an extensive area of precipitation, but a little bit of weather down there, but I don't see anything that's going to slow anything down too much.
Well, it's more fun to talk about the weather than when there's something really rotten happening, I have to admit. But you know what? It's great to have good weather across the planet because sometimes it just shows up and turns ugly, depending on where you are across the planet. Better check in one other place. The Chinese are in the midst of their corn harvest as well.
Well, a lot, as you said, you know, most of Northern Hemisphere experiencing some pretty decent weather right now. And for China, that's going to be true as well. Now, it does look a little more wet over there. So I think if there's going to be any part of the Northern Hemisphere that may have a few delays due to some muddy fields, that would be China.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A couple of things to keep in mind as we close out our program. First, be careful if you're out there in the field on the farm. Secondly, if you're out there on the roads near the farm, be on the lookout for all of those slow-moving vehicles. Tractors and combines are really big, and you do not want to tangle with one of them on the roadside. For the farmers, I have have an event that you should sign up for today, if you have an opportunity, give us a call and order your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. That's November the 24th, the Monday before Thanksgiving, in Normal at the Marriott. It includes your meal at the noon hour and the parking at the Marriott for $25. From about 11 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening, we'll have 12 of our regular on-air analysts, plus Gary Schnitke to talk about crop insurance, Bruce Sherrick to talk about the value of farmland, and Jonathan Kappas to go through the ARC and PLC or farm program decisions you'll be making sometime early next year. The number to call, 800-898-1065, or buy them online at willag.org. The cost is just $25. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.